Nature in the City explores the flora and fauna in the Kansas City area. Today, we're going to learn about a small furry mammal that can be found scampering around everywhere from the densest parts of the city to the most serene prairie or forest. Squirrels are pretty common around here, but some different-looking ones are turning heads in a Northland neighborhood. Suzanne Hogan has the story.
We're going to stroll down by Ken and Marilyn's.
Okay, I'm going to go with you.
Dave Wood and his wife Lisa live in North Kansas City on Erie Street, a generally quiet road where a different type of squirrel has been causing a bit of a buzz in the neighborhood.
Hey, Ken. Here's my neighbor, Ken.
The Woods walk me to the Carnes residence, just a few houses down. In the past 3 years, it's been known as one of the hotspots for the new squirrel activity.
There's a nest up there. If you want to crawl up and look in it and see what's in it, Dave.
Not me.
Ken Carnes has lived on this block for 77 years. He's kind of a jokester, but assures that he is definitely not joking about the squirrels he's been seeing. And as if on cue, the squirrel proves him right.
Look on the ground right over there in the front yard.
Oh. There
oh
he
my
is.
God! Is that a black squirrel or is
that's
that a
certain, yeah, that's a black squirrel.
A black squirrel, something that the Woods and the Carnes admit, until a few years ago, they had never seen. They didn't know anything about them. So they tried to find out more about their new neighbors.
My wife looked it up in the internet and said that they're mutants or something, so probably...
this is their leader.
It is a mutation.
That part is true.
This might have happened millions of years ago. The grey squirrel is much older than the black squirrel, so the black squirrel gene has somehow mutated.
Scientist Helen McRoby lives in the UK and studies squirrels. We talked on Skype. She discovered the genetic difference that causes eastern grey squirrels to be black. In Kansas City, the two most common squirrel species are the eastern gray squirrel and the fox squirrel. Both these species can be found in any color phase, from black to everything in between, even to white. McRoby explains.
It's actually very, very simple. A normal gray squirrel, if you look very closely at their individual hairs, they're actually stripy. They're made up of white, black and orange colors, but from a distance they look gray. But the black squirrel, the gene that's involved in the hair color, it doesn't make that stripy hair, it just makes a solid black hair.
So a black eastern gray squirrel is the same species. It's just that they have a deleted gene that makes them black, or what's called melanistic. McRoby says it's very common to find melanistic squirrels in the northeastern part of the U.S., Canada, and even pockets in the Midwest. And she's still trying to learn even more about them.
If you're willing to get people to send any roadkill samples or, you know, get in touch with you, that would be fantastic to get some more tissue.
So, anyway, there are theories out there that black squirrels have an advantage in colder climates or camouflage better in forest settings and shade, but nobody really knows for certain.
I don't think they have an advantage over the grays. They're just sort of interbreeding as they go.
McRoby says black squirrels are expanding their territory naturally, and humans have also played a role.
They've been moved around in America by people, so it's hard to know what's a natural spread by the squirrels and what's, people interfering.
For example, in the town of Marysville, Kansas, about 2 hours west from Kansas City, about half the squirrel population is black.
In the 1920s, there was a traveling carnival or circus in town that had a cage of black squirrels. And one night, a child opened the cage and let them out.
That's Brenda Stagenborg with the Marysville Chamber of Commerce. Black squirrels are the town's mascot, and they're even protected by city ordinance.
My name is Doris Rapp. I'm from Marionville, Missouri, home of the white squirrels.
And in Marionville, Missouri, a town 3 hours south of Kansas City, Rapp is the mayor of this white squirrel town, which is also credited to either an early 1900s traveling circus or a scientist who was breeding them. Either way, they also make up about half of the population, are protected by ordinance, and are the town mascot.
People used to see in a certain color phase, the common color phase, and when something odd shows up, I find it fascinating.
Lonnie Hansen was the squirrel specialist for the Missouri Department of Conservation for 25 years. He's seen squirrels of nearly every color combination and says, all in all, squirrel populations of all species in Missouri are doing just fine, which is part of the reason why he likes them.
Some people wish we had far fewer in urban settings, but that's part of their ability to adapt is how well they do in those highly manipulated urban settings. And so that's why I admire them so much.
Hansen says he used to get all types of squirrel calls. It seems like everybody has some squirrel story, from people reporting different colors to people complaining about them, getting into attics, the whole bit. But Hansen says most people enjoy having these small mammal neighbors to spy on. they can be really fun to watch. And if you happen to come across some black squirrel roadkill, there is a scientist in the UK who would love for you to send it to her.
So yeah, in case you didn't catch that, the scientist would love your roadkill. Suzanne Hogan brought us that dispatch on the black squirrel and its friends, the white squirrels and the gray squirrels. I'm Gina Kaufman. You're listening to Central Standard. And I think we can all agree that as common as squirrels are, they do a lot of things that a casual observer would be hard-pressed to explain. So now let's talk with Steve Sullivan. He's curator of urban ecology for the Chicago Academy of Sciences, and he's a researcher with something called Project Squirrel. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
What is Project Squirrel?
Well, Project Squirrel is a citizen science program designed for anybody, anywhere in the country, and in fact, in places like the UK, too, where we have some of our North American squirrels, to report their sightings, to let us know what they see about squirrels in their neighborhood, and equally important, to let us know what they don't see about squirrels in their neighborhood. That is, if you look out your window, if you live in North America, and you look out your window and don't see a squirrel, we would love to know that from you as well, because whether you see a squirrel or don't, that tells us something interesting about your neighborhood's ecology.
What are you trying to figure out, though?
Well, we're trying to figure out a couple of things. From the ecological perspective, squirrels being relatively small, diurnal or day-active animals, that means that we as humans are going to see them, and other animals are going to see them as well, including predators such as coyotes, as well as house cats that are running around outside. And at the same time, these squirrels are going to be interacting with foods such as acorns and maple samaras and our garbage. And so squirrels are this great nexus of predator-prey interactions and food interactions. And so they can really be what we call a sentinel organism to help us understand what's going on with all of the nature in our neighborhood.
How did Project Squirrel get started?
Well, we were looking for a way to both understand urban ecology, how our cities and our human behavior impact nature, and we also wanted to find a way to connect with the people that were living in this area because, you know, we humans, we're the most impactful species on the planet. And while I wanted to study the animals in the neighborhood, I also wanted to study these other big animals, the humans, and squirrels seemed like a good way to bring those things together. And indeed, after Project Squirrel became a nationwide project, we began to get thousands of participants from around the country letting us know the things that they see. And the things that citizen scientists see are things that I could never get out there and see on my own. I learned so much from all these people that contribute their observations to Project Squirrel.
Is there like a recurring observation that people are really either troubled or confused by or project a lot of interpretation onto?
Oh, there are a couple of themes. When you say project an interpretation onto, the one that comes to mind is people see squirrels chasing each other up and down trees, and they email me and say, oh, the squirrels in my neighborhood are having so much fun. I see them always playing. And frankly, they're wrong. They're not really playing.
Are they having fun?
Well, maybe some of them are having fun. What it is females come into estrus. They're ready to mate once or maybe twice a year for about 8 hours at a time. And so all the boys in the neighborhood line up behind the girl and chase her around until she's ready to pause for a moment and entertain their advances. And until that point, she's going to run away and try to have nothing to do with them. She'll run out to the most slender branches she can. And once she gets cornered, she'll turn around and rip those boys' noses open with her grappling-like claws or bite their tails off or bite their ears. So maybe there's some fun there, but I think it's pretty much an aggressive encounter.
Well, is there a story that you've heard that has really advanced your research in a significant way?
Really, to me, it's the collective stories. Project Squirrel is much like a restaurant review site. If you only get one person's story, you don't actually know what's going on at that restaurant. But if you get 40 or 50 stories from the same zip code, in my case, then I really start to get a good picture of what's going on in that particular neighborhood. And in the case of Chicagoland, where I have the majority of really dense observations, one of the things we've seen is that gray squirrels really like humans. They like our garbage. They apparently don't care that many of their cohort get killed by our cats and our dogs
and our cars.
Yep. And so they seem to be spreading quite a bit. And this factors into some of what your previous piece was talking about with the black squirrels. Of course, as you said, black squirrels are simply gray squirrels, as are white squirrels, in most cases. And this species, Sciurus carolinensis, regardless of what color it is, seems to be spreading quite a bit due to human influence.
What do you think inspires just ordinary people living their lives to notice squirrels and care about what's going on with them enough to contact you and tell you their reports and their stories?
Well, you know, whenever I go and give a public presentation on squirrels, I usually start off by saying, okay, who here loves squirrels? And as you would expect, the majority of the room raises their hands. But then I'll ask, well, who here hates squirrels? And there's always a handful of people in the audience that raise their hands, which tells me a lot. Even though they hate squirrels, they're interested enough in squirrels to come and listen to this guy talk about squirrel ecology in their neighborhood. And equally telling, I think, is usually, you know, you always get the non-participants in the crowd. And so I say, okay, so there's some of you that haven't participated. So who here is indifferent to squirrels? And people raise their hands to that too. And
weird.
That is also really telling. So we can talk more about that at some point.
Yeah, Steve Sullivan, hold that thought. Central Standard will be right back. If you've observed unusual squirrel behavior in your lawn or on your block, give us a call. You'll be contributing to science. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. You're listening to Central Standard. We're talking with a researcher behind Project Squirrel out of Chicago. Steve Sullivan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Steve and his research team are compiling observations about squirrels from citizen scientists. So if you have some observations of intriguing squirrel behavior, call us up with your report. 816-235-2888. Steve, are there a few basics about squirrel behavior that you think everyone should understand?
Well, absolutely. Within the range of the folks that are listening right now, there are two tree squirrels that are most common, the gray squirrel and the fox squirrel. And these guys are scatter hoarders. That is, they like to stash whatever food that they've found that is preservable. So nuts would be an example, as opposed to, say, bread that they're not going to stash. And they'll just scatter this around the lawn so that they can get back to it whenever they want. There is also the red squirrel, which is very common throughout the United States in places that have dense coniferous forests. And this squirrel is a larder hoarder. And so he puts, literally in some cases, all of his eggs in one basket. And the difference is that if somebody comes along to raid a red squirrel's nest, and it's a very small squirrel, that squirrel has to have a really bad attitude. And he gets in their face and just screams at him and tries to protect his nest. On the other hand, fox squirrels are relatively large. You've probably seen them near your neighborhood. They have rusty bellies and kind of a grizzled, reddish, rusty cast to their body. Gray squirrels are a little bit smaller than fox squirrels and typically have a white belly with a gray back, but as we've heard, they can be any color too. And these guys both scatter their food far and wide. But it seems like, for a variety of reasons, that gray squirrels are just a little bit more aggressive. Even though the fox squirrel is bigger, that gray squirrel can pick on the fox squirrel and chase it out of your neighborhood. And so the effect of predation and the effect of low-quality food then begins to play into squirrel ecology. And that's where we think that gray squirrels are really doing better, is they can eat low-quality food, whereas fox squirrels need nice acorns and black walnuts and things like this.
Do you think that the urban or suburban lawn has, like, its own ecology, or that, like, from block to block, you would see a specific way that, I mean, I know that squirrels don't heed where, like, okay, well, now I'm on 12th Street and I'm really an 11th Street squirrel. But, I mean, do little segments of a city have their own little ecologies where squirrels play particular kinds of roles?
They certainly do. Chicagoland is a good example of this because of the way that it built up. It's got very different municipalities that are literally right across the street from one another. And on one side of the street, you may have large, old, black walnut trees and oak trees. And on the other side of the street, you may have a different town that has largely sprung up in the recent decades in old cornfields. And so the trees are much smaller. And also, if you have different garbage collection laws, some communities use those big bins that dump everything into the truck automatically. Others still use cans. And animal control laws. If your community still allows cats to roam freely outdoors, you're going to have a significantly less biodiverse neighborhood than one that keeps all of their pets under control. And so we often see adjacent neighborhoods have... Just a few blocks from that dividing street have very different ecologies as reflected by the squirrels. But also when you see that difference in the squirrels, you can then look deeper into other issues, other animals and plants, and see significant differences between the two communities.
Let's hear some squirrel stories from our listeners. We've got John in Overland Park on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. I live in Overland Park, and we, in our neighborhood, we have three white squirrels that we regularly see. And that, and from a behavior standpoint, their range seems to be about a two-block radius. Does that seem right, or are we seeing the squirrels in action, or how far are they moving?
That is potentially you're probably seeing what is really true, and in all likelihood those are females then, because females tend to have much smaller home ranges. And if it's only two blocks, I would also guess that you live in an area that has relatively mature trees.
In areas. 40-foot pinup.
Oh, there you go. So yeah, that'll keep them home. I mean, that's basically a nice big refrigerator full of food for most of the year. And even earlier in the year, I assume there are maples and things around that will help the squirrels have good food until the acorns come on. In areas where there are smaller trees, the squirrels will have to have much larger ranges unless there's lots of garbage around. And gray squirrels tend to like that a little bit, not nearly as much as rats. And then also male squirrels tend to roam quite a bit especially in fox squirrels, they'll roam even more than gray squirrels.
Thanks so much for that call, John. Let's talk now with Sherry in Prairie Village. Hi, Sherry.
Hi there.
What's your story?
So we have a lot of walnut trees around our house, but lately we've been seeing the squirrels chewing on the bases of our pillars.
Ah. So you have wooden pillars are mounted on concrete near your front door?
And actually, they're mounted on some kind of maybe styrofoam or something, base.
Sure. A little
I'm
spacer.
Sure exactly.
But the pillars are wooden, not fiberglass?
The pillars are wooden,
yeah.
But the bases themselves are something else, like styrofoam or maybe fiberglass.
Oh, so they're actually chewing on the bases, they're chewing on the foam part, not the wooden part.
Right.
Okay. Squirrels will value foam and things like that for nest insulation. And I was also sort of veering off onto the wood portion because oftentimes outdoor woods are preserved with a variety of salts that, although toxic, are sometimes still apparently palatable. So my guess would be that they're looking for nest material. So what I love to do is take old 4th of July decorations or old Christmas decorations, especially ones that are made out of yarn or fabric or something, and I kind of fluff those up. I put them in a little cardboard box. Maybe I'll put some peanuts around. And I encourage the squirrels to use that because, one, it gives them a better nest resource. And two, it's kind of fun because now you can track where they're building their nests because you'll see little fragments of your old decorations scattered around in the trees. Do make sure, of course, that they're biodegradable. So don't use nylon or plastic, for example. Use cotton and wool and stuff like that. But it can be a fun way to interact with your squirrels.
Okay, good luck with that, Sherry. And now we will hear from Jay in Leawood. Hi, Jay.
Hello. My situation may be similar to your last caller's. We have five large redwood trees in our backyard, and for the first time last winter, the squirrels, which were gray squirrels, decided to strip all the bark off of the trees.
Yes, that's a good observation. Redwoods, cedars, things like that, those are actually the native, the natural things that they use to line their nests, of course, in addition to leaves. Typically, they don't strip enough to actually damage the tree. If they do, there are a variety of repellents that you can put on there that don't taste good. They're typically marketed for geese or dogs, sour grape and pig's blood and things like this. They're not a guarantee, but they do minimize the bark stripping.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for that call, Jay. You know, I moved to a block just a few years ago where the squirrels on that block seemed just extra, I don't know, hyper and very interested in the behavior of the people going in and out of the houses in a way that I had never really observed squirrels to be. In fact, I had not paid much attention to squirrels before living on that block. Are there some squirrels that are just like maniacs, basically?
Well, there could be two answers to this. One is if the behavior was in spring and early summer, then usually what you're seeing are baby squirrels. And baby squirrels are certainly much more rambunctious and inquisitive and much less cautious than mature squirrels. But on the other hand, animals like squirrels can be habituated to people. Basically, what this means is they can figure out whether we're friend or foe. The average animal thinks of humans as a death trap. Anything we do is dangerous. And quite frankly, for most animals, that's probably a good idea because it helps minimize human-animal conflict. They're perfectly willing to stay away from us even though they're living in our neighborhoods. On the other hand, animals are smart and they can figure out that, in fact, we might actually be vending machines. And so if you have a handful of people in the neighborhood that maybe put peanuts out or, heaven forbid, try to feed the squirrels straight from their hands, these squirrels are going to start seeing you as one of those interesting-looking two-legged vending machines and start paying more attention to you.
Whoa. Okay. So I'll go around and make sure that my neighbors aren't feeding squirrels peanuts. But are the squirrels who inhabit one, like, mini region in a town the same ones, like relatives that you see the next year, or do squirrels kind of move from place to place willy-nilly?
Well, as we said earlier, female squirrels really have relatively small home ranges, which their daughters tend to inherit. Male squirrels, though, they are the typical, stereotypical run-around boys. The average squirrel, when it's born, has approximately an 80% mortality rate in its first year. So most squirrels die before their first birthday.
Aww.
However, those few that make it tend to live 6 to 8 years. And of course, in a species where you have a male and female, one female only needs to have two offspring make it to maturity in order to maintain the population at stasis. So the adult squirrels that you're seeing in your neighborhood this year are probably the same adult squirrels that you will see next year.
Okay, let's talk to Chet in Overland Park. Hi, Chet.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how about you?
Good. I have a question, an observation and a question. A few years ago, I was looking out the back window, and up in a big oak tree, there were two squirrels, or what looked like two squirrels, and there was a huge ruckus. It appeared like maybe it was a territorial dispute or something like that. One of the squirrels proceeded to pick up baby squirrels in what looked like her mouth, and dropped him from this tree 30 or 40 feet. And he landed on the ground, and a few minutes later, I'm assuming the other squirrel, came down the tree and started picking them up one by one and taking them back up the tree. And they were, pretty well lifeless at that point in time. But it was such a strange behavior, and I didn't know if that was something that happened fairly often or if it was just an anomaly that I happened to witness. I don't know.
Sure. Well, this is part of the reason that we have Project Squirrel, because folks like you are out there seeing these really cool interactions and helping to document it. And as much detail as you have, somebody else might have additional details from their own observation. And as we start to put all these observations together, we can go from simply making guesses to actually having some legitimate hypotheses that we can look at. you know, I could have a handful of guesses as to what happened, but I think your description is probably apt. There was a conflict and babies got moved around. That's really interesting. You know, now we want to know, was it a gray squirrel that was the aggressor or a fox squirrel, or were they the same species? And, you know, what time of year and things like this. And as we start to get these observations from around the country, we can then know much more about the dynamics of squirrel populations.
You know, I'm curious about whether there's any significant change going on in the squirrel population that you're observing. How long have you been doing Project Squirrel now?
Project Squirrel's been going on for over 10 years, and it's been a nationwide program for much of the last decade. We really hope that we can increase Project Squirrel participation in regions such as yours, and even further west in places like California, where the squirrels that are native to our houses have actually been transported over to California, and they're part of the reason that nut prices are high.
So they're eating all those nuts, and then we got to fork over a bit more to get a hold of this scarce resource?
Yeah, gray squirrels and fox squirrels are agricultural pests throughout the nut-growing regions of California, and that impacts our bottom line here in the Midwest.
Wow. But what about this question of change that you're noticing in the squirrel population? I mean, 10 years seems like long enough that you could observe something shifting.
Yeah, and in fact, we're in the process of publishing a handful of papers that talk about this. As I alluded to earlier, one of the things that we're seeing shifting is that cities tend to be more and more dominated by gray squirrels. And there are some mitigating factors in this, including the kind of predation that goes on and the kind of potential predation, too. Potential predation can be just as important as actual predation in manipulating behaviors, as well as accessibility to what in squirrel terms we would call low quality food, hamburgers, cake, Twinkies, things like this, as opposed to nuts, acorns, and walnuts. So gray squirrels are certainly dominating in some areas. But that said, fox squirrels are holding their own in many other regions. And so they're really illustrating that the ecology of our neighborhoods are very complex and very compelling. So you can't just say, well, this neighborhood is going to have gray squirrels. We have to look at a variety of factors. And if you go to Project Squirrel, you'll see that we're collecting about 14 different data points to try to differentiate the ecological factors. The other interesting thing, as you noted at the top of the hour, black squirrels are becoming more common, apparently. Now, it's difficult to actually quantify that using our methodology because, of course, when people see these weird squirrels, they want to report them arguably more than they do when they report normal squirrels. But if we go back to the early colonization of North America, it appears that black squirrels were much more common. In fact, one of the authors that documented the decline and extinction of the passenger pigeon also documented the decline and disappearance of the black squirrel throughout much of the United States. So we might simply be reaching a heterogeneity of black and gray that is the way it used to be.
So, Steve Sullivan, quickly, do you have a favorite squirrel encounter from your own life?
Well, you know, I just got back from touring throughout the Great Basin of the United States, Utah, Nevada, and places like that. And we drove into our driveway. My son jumps out of the car and he says, "Look, Dad, a squirrel." And to me, that really exemplifies one of the neat things about tree squirrels, that these are one of our most intense and regular interactions that we as humans have with bona fide wild animals. We see domesticated animals like dogs and cats. We eat domesticated animals like cows and pigs. But we don't really see a lot of wild mammals out there. And squirrels are one that are really accessible to all of us. And that's part of the reason we chose squirrels as this catalyst for Project Squirrel, so that all of us can be better involved in understanding our urban ecology.
Steve Sullivan, thanks so much for joining me. Steve is curator of urban ecology for the Chicago Academy of Sciences, and he joins us from Project Squirrel.